Right, we're going to have a look in the Old Testament today. So let's dig in to the book of Joel. Now, I feel like I'm a bit loud. The book of Joel talks about stuff that we don't really have a lot of connection to historically. One of the key things it starts with is he's referring to a disaster that would happen quite often in the in kind of times gone by. Very rarely happens now. And he's talking very much about the effect of a locust storm. Now, when was the last one we had one of those? Well, we just never get them. But for those in other parts of the world where it's an issue, my goodness, it's an issue. Okay? So Joel is speaking shortly after there's been a significant locust storm. Now, there hasn't been a really major one, even in the world, for probably about 90 years. They do have them. They happen in Africa. They happen in some of the third world countries. But the metaphor of a locust is something I really want us to get our heads around today. Okay? So you have to understand, and I've had to go away and watch lots of videos about locusts and what they do and how it happens and all that kind of stuff. So if you want to do that, you can feel free afterwards. It's actually quite fascinating. So let's just read in Joel to start off with. So we're going to look in Joel chapter 1, and we're going to read a few verses just to get our heads around it. He turns to the people and he says, "What the cutting locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the hopping locust has eaten. And what the hopping locust has left, the destroying locust has eaten. Awake, you drunkards, weep and wail, all you drinkers of wine, because of the sweet wine, for it is cut off from your mouth." Okay. That's a real sound of something devastating. It's talking about you have lost everything. Now, what happened is the Jews had... Now, this was written quite a while. So this was probably about 900 BC. Okay, so you're talking, you know, back in the time of the kings and of Judah. It's very difficult to actually fix when this was done. But the key thing is, they had let go of the commands of God. They had drifted into a comfortable place. And they were enjoying the sweet wine of just easy life. Every day. I mean, life is not that difficult for us. We might go through difficulties, and we are going through a cost of living crisis, and we're going through many different trials and difficulties at the moment, but we aren't living on the edge of existence. Now, these people had got used to a predictable life. They'd got used to everything working okay. And it's funny that when things are going the way we want them to go, often our minds get off our need to stay close to God. And that's exactly what the Jews had done. They'd started to allow sin to come into their lives. They'd started to allow little lazinesses to come into their worship of God. They'd kind of lost sight of things like, you know, keeping God's word, God's Sabbaths, the paying into the treasury, and they got comfortable. And Joel says, well, it's come now. The judgment of God has come upon us, and everything is lost. You have lost that sweet wine. Okay. Now, to understand what we're kind of using as a metaphor, we have to understand what locusts are. Okay? Now, who knows what a locust is? Little pop quiz. It's a little insect. It's effectively a grasshopper. Okay? All locusts are basically just a feisty little grasshopper. And the thing about them is, normally, they just live very solitary little lives, and they just are green, and you wouldn't really notice them. All you would hear is like the little crickety noise that they make, which would be quite nice on a summer's evening, and they do very little harm. They're just, you just notice it and get on with your life. But you see, when there is a rain, and then everything starts to grow, a lot of grass starts to grow, the grasshoppers do quite well. They start to get bigger, and there's slightly more of them. But you see, at some critical point, and what's interesting is nobody really knows the point at which that trigger happens. But see, when these grasshoppers become a certain number of them, and they bump into each other. And that's funny, because what they say is that's the point at which things change. They bump into each other. And the moment they start to realize there's more of them, their behaviors start to change. And they start to change color. They go from being green and kind of hidden to quite colourful and quite easy to see. But then they also change in their metabolic rates. They start to produce more quickly. They start to eat more virulently. And all of a sudden, there's loads of them. And they start to become very aggressive. And then they go further and they reproduce and they reproduce. And next thing you know, they're all going together as a band as they all jump together. And then something very strange happens. It triggers them to grow wings. Now, the moment they grow wings, they are a different force altogether. And they mass to then land, they just grow in great big swarms, and they will land on a patch of someone's farm. And what do they leave behind? Nothing. Now, you can imagine being a farmer in those days and seeing that coming towards you. My goodness. Now, Joel is trying to get them to see that their sins that they've tolerated, the little grasshoppers, okay? Those little grasshoppers that you wouldn't really notice, you tolerated them. And then blessing came, and you didn't notice that the grasshoppers were increasing. But then you see, that's the trouble with sin, isn't it? We can tolerate a little sin in our lives, and it doesn't really matter. And it's almost like, you know, God doesn't seem to mind that little sin. It's fine, and it just hops about, and you don't really notice it. People you live with probably notice it. You know, that propensity to be a bit grumpy, or that propensity to be, well, you know, it doesn't really matter if I do that, or that doesn't really... It's only those that are close to you that would really notice those things, but the world doesn't. And in fact, you know what? The devil doesn't mind them either. You know that? The devil doesn't mind your little sins. He's going to leave you to it. He's not making you do them, but he's also not really bothered that you're doing them. He's not going to go to God and go, hey, just look at... Who's not here? Joan. We haven't got a Joan. There you go. Look at Joan. She's, you know, she's gossiping a wee bit. Right? Oh, do we have a Joan? There you go. It isn't you, Joan. Right. The devil doesn't care because it's not worth his time. But as we move forwards and God starts to do some blessing or whatever, then all of a sudden those sins can become more useful to him. And they change colour and they get a bit more, I don't know, of a boost. And you can find that these things start to affect your life. Just like those little grasshoppers, the more they increase, the more they become affecting in your life. So, Joel is saying to the Israelites, look, you didn't look after yourselves, you didn't stop the sins when they were small, you allowed these sins to become huge, and God has brought judgment on us, and he has brought judgment on us in the form of these locusts. But you see, in our own lives, before we come to Christ, sin has a huge effect in our lives. A huge effect. It keeps us from God. It keeps us from the presence of God. And we know that when we turn to Christ, the power of those sins is no longer in our lives. And we can live righteous lives. And what Joel goes on to say is, you allowed sin in your life, and that took away your relationship with God. It's destroyed the blessing. But now, God is seeking to bring blessing in your life. And he says in verse 12 of chapter 2, yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering, a drink offering to the Lord your God. So we know that the sin before we came to Christ was depriving us of blessing. We turn to Jesus, and he is able then to bring blessing in our lives. And that is the principle that we need to look at. That if sin is broken in our lives when we come to Christ, then we are open to God's blessing in our lives. And that principle is there because God is desperate to bless us. Now, Joel gives us a principle, though. He says God is keen to bless you. God loves to bless you. Do you know how many times have we walked around and a lot of religious kind of teaching is that God's standing up there waiting to catch you doing something wrong? I've had times in my Christian life when I felt like God was just about to tell me I was doing something wrong. And all he was doing is looking out to catch me doing wrong. That is not the godly principle. The godly principle is God is waiting to bless you. He is desperate to bring blessing into your life. And even when we do stupid stuff and we mess up and we make mistakes, like Joel says there, God is wanting to find an opportunity to bless you. And it says in 2:23, and then the Lord became jealous for his land. Now what that means is God's was desperate to bless his land, his promise. And that's you. Now, the metaphor for that is God is desperate to bless you. He became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied and will no more make you a reproach among the nations. Be glad, O children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the latter rain as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. And I shall come to pass that afterward I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. You see, God is desperate to bless his church. He is yearning, longing to bless your life. He's not looking to find every possibility to say why you can't be blessed. He is desperate to give an opportunity so that you can be blessed. This church, God is longing to pour out his Spirit on this church. Desperate to. So all we need to do is to come into the blessings of Christ and live for that. And he is going to seek to bless us. If we look at Romans chapter 8, it says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in his flesh in order that you, that all the righteous requirements of the law might be filled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Now, this principle is, I'm trying to say to you, if you have the grasshoppers in your life, if you have these little sins in your life, stamp on them. I know that doesn't sound very nice, okay? I'm talking about metaphorical grasshoppers, so it's okay, okay? You might think these are lovely little grassy things, these lovely little grasshoppers, right? They're all right. They're not. You know in your life, what are your little sins? What are your things that you're allowing yourself to do? It could be a sin of omission as much as a sin of action. Are you giving as God is calling you to give? Are you giving from your wealth into the kingdom of God what God is calling you to give him? Okay? If you're not, we know scripturally God sees that as sin. We don't talk about money much in this church. We don't, because we rely on the fact that you're going to do what God's called you to do. But if God has blessed you, he expects that you will bless the church. And not doing it, he sees as sin. And you look at the Old Testament principles all the way through. To hold back the tithe is seen by God as an act of real sin. So your sin could be one of omission. That little grasshopper that you've allowed to just go unnoticed, well, stamp on it. I'm not telling you what to give. I'm not telling you how you should give. But you should be asking God, what can I give, God? What out of my wealth can I give into the kingdom of God? And then do it. If God's put something on your heart to do and you don't do it, then that's a little grasshopper. Now, there may be other things in your life. It could be that you're watching far too much rubbish, either on the net or on the TV or whatever, and it's just fill in your head with many wrong thoughts, many grasshoppers. Now, as we know, as the locusts get together, when they form a mass, they change their influence, they take over. It's what we can see in our society just now. As our society is tolerating more and more sins, okay, look at them. The sins that our society is promoting again and again and again. The more it does it, the more those sins become emboldened and start to just eat up the spirituality that's around us. We are in a position where our society is just throwing away God's principles and just going its own way. These are many, many locusts. And it's not long before they will come and try and strip us of everything that we hold dear. That's going to happen in your own life if all you fill your head with is the truths of this world. I mean, look at what's out there at the moment. You've got TV programs that just promote utter rubbish. And if you're filling your head with that, then it's going to be taken away from your spirituality. See these little grasshoppers, we're allowing, the moment they become a bigger amount, they start to become, they wonder why you don't feel very spiritual. And again, the final thing I'm going to bring to you is a script, okay, the joys of technology, is from Galatians. And it's a very, very, very simple principle. Okay? I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not pretending that this life lived before Jesus is easy. Okay? Because it takes some discipline. It takes wisdom. It takes working in fellowship. It takes walking together and you being the right kind of thing. But Galatians chapter 5. Now, there's quite a few verses here, but it's pointless me saying it when Paul said it better than I can. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry. There you go, can't even read. Sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy. These first ones we don't like. We think, oh, well, I'm not sexually immoral, I'm not this, but jealousy, sorcery, enmity, contention, we got those, strife, fits of anger, rivalries, oh, we could do those, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, maybe not so many of them, and things like these, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, fruitfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there are no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. What we hear in Joel, and I'd say it's only three chapters. It's an easy book to say, well, I read a book of the Bible. Joel, three chapters. Read it, okay? And you will see the principles where the children of God tolerated sin. In fact, they gave words that it was okay. They looked over it. They passed it by. And they reaped the locust swarm. It left nothing. If you're wondering why your spiritual life is maybe lacking, it may not be that you are particularly a terrible sinner, okay? But that last thing in Galatians, go and read Galatians chapter 5. How do you live a strong Christian life? It's not about focusing on the wrong, it's about focusing on the good things, the Spirit. What are you praying? Are you seeking to bless people? Are you seeking to give into the kingdom? Are you doing the things that God is calling you to do? Because if you are, then God can bless you. The Holy Spirit can move in your life. If you are tolerating these little grasshoppers to a point where there's a lot of chirping going on, okay? And as I say, your family can often hear the chirping, whereas you can keep it quiet from the rest of the world. But you know the things that you're doing that God would have you stop doing. And there are many things that you should be doing. You know, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, do you pray in tongues every day? Well, why not? Are you praying when things come up? Why not? Let's do the things that God's called us to do, and let's stamp on the metaphorical grasshoppers that would be the things that will trip us up. In Hebrews, it says, let us put off those sins that do so easily entangle us. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to move forward. But be short in your accounts with God. Each night, go, Lord, messed up there. Help me tomorrow to stamp on that grasshopper. Okay? Tomorrow, help me, Lord, be righteous with you. Give me what I can do for you tomorrow. And the swarm of locusts will not come and will not destroy all the good that God has given. We want to be a church who moves together, blessing each other from the abundance that God's given us. But in your private time is where you will be radical in stamping on them grasshoppers, those locusts that would so easily entangle you, so easily rob the fruit that God's got in your life. So let's give this to God. Father, we want to thank you that your desire to bless us, to have us walk in the truth of Jesus Christ, is greater than our desire to do so. But Lord, we come before you and we ask, Lord, that you forgive us for the sins we've tolerated. We ask you, Lord God, to forgive us for the sins of omission, the things that we haven't done that you've called us to do. And Lord, we just put our lives before you and say, bring about that blessing in our lives, Father, so that we can bless others. We ask, Lord God, that this church would be a church of blessing, that there would not be the chirping of locusts among us. But Lord, there would be righteousness, there would be love, there would be outpouring of the gifts of your Holy Spirit. So Lord God, we commend ourselves to you. We give ourselves to you. Father, for the sake of your church, for the sake of your name, pour out your blessings here amongst us and bring us into a time of such fruitfulness that this church will know what it is to walk in the gifts of the Spirit, in the fruit of the Spirit, and in the praise of your name, Lord Jesus. Glorify your name. Amen. Thanks, guys.